Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm happy you're here today. And it's good. It's really, really good for us to be here. Thank you, Father. So are we ready for the word? Come on, are we ready? This year, for us, the Lord spoke to us. You know, we just have that word. And the Lord said to us, this year for us, it's a year of glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. And in He's just been speaking to us about and guiding us about how we can enjoy the good things that He has in store for us. In the past 3 weeks, I think this, after the breakfast service, we began to talk about how to maximize God's grace, how to maximize the grace of God, right? We looked at very significant things we should do, we can do to maximize the grace of God upon our lives. And the Lord is still speaking to us in this direction. And I just want to bring a word to you today that I believe will be a great blessing to you and help you enter into the things of God for your life this year, 2026. Hallelujah. The Lord has great things in store for us. That is the truth. And He has released them and they are available to us by grace. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can enjoy the good things. Remember, when we say glad tidings of good things, we are actually talking about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here? It is because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can enjoy good things. So, and then when we go out, and when, you know, when we talk about the glad tidings, the good news, we're talking about the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So we say the glad tidings of good things. We're going to enter into those things by grace. And that's why our conversation for the past few weeks have been on grace, grace, grace. The good things are not going to come into your life because you are somewhat super. They're going to come into your life by the grace and the mercy of God. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why He has been talking to us about grace. And that's why I want you to pay attention. Pay attention. Grace is the key, the way to enjoy the good things of God. You're not going to enjoy the good things of God because you are good. You're going to enjoy the good things of God because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
They're going to enter into our lives by grace. And so we talked about, first of all, we talked about six ways, right, to maximize the grace of God. Right, these ways to maximize the grace of God, and we looked at that, and that's powerful. I trust you will go and review these things, because through the weeks we'll be teaching, bringing truth and bringing light. But you have to, if you don't go back to look at them and pay attention and review them again, maybe review your notes, but you can get the messages and listen to them again. They're online, they're on websites, they're on Mixer app. You can review them just through the week and listen to them again. I think you get to be able to get these points into your consciousness, your mind, and into your spirit, and then you will enjoy and walk in them. Amen.
Amen.
Today, I want to talk to you about how God's power is available for every situation. It is sufficient for every situation, for every condition. Amen. The thing is, when we look at people around us, or we look at the people even in the scriptures, we mistakenly or somehow put them all on the same baseline. We do not see the different conditions and the different ways that grace got into their lives. We do not see that. And that becomes a problem. Are you here? And so we take our lives and our conditions and our situations, and we somewhat think that our situations are different. Our situation, our condition is different, and that God's ability might not be able to reach us the way it reached Joseph, or might not be able to reach us the way it reached David. Okay, let me rephrase that statement. Now the thing is that we consider God's power and God's ability. And when we are thinking about God's ability, we are thinking about the people in the Bible or the people even around us, and we are finding the unique point, the unique difference between us and them, and we can say why God could do something in their lives, but not for us.
Are you here?
I'm going somewhere. Remember, I just started. So just try to follow my thought. I'm just going to go somewhere. I'm trying to introduce you to my thought. The thing is, when you think about David, you think about a giant slayer. You think about him as king. When you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you think about people that God loved, and they just had this supernatural wisdom and stuff and all that kind of things. Or you think about, we're going to look at all the examples. You think about the disciples, the apostles. We're going to look at them. I want to just see if I can get you to the place where you are interested in looking at this thing with me. We miss it. We look at their lives and we look at them as one powerful, great people. We think that all their situations were somewhat the same. David's situation was the same with Peter's situation, and the same with Abraham's situation, and the same with Esther's situation. But the truth is that was not the case at all. The grace reached them from wherever situation they were in. You see now, their situations were not the same. Remember when in our conversation about grace, and we said that one thing about grace, the common factor between everybody that enjoyed grace is that they were victorious at the end. Remember that grace did not mean that they would not go through stuff. It only means that they were victorious at the end. And so you could look at your life and your situation and you compare it with somebody else, and if you look at your maybe classmates, maybe friend, neighbor, age mates, when you look at them and look at where you are, it's as if the grace of God can no longer reach you. Or maybe the course that they read, or the company that they are working. And somehow you tie the grace of God to that thing, and it now becomes like impossible for God's grace to reach you, and for God's grace to lift you out of that situation. But I want to begin to show you today, by the grace and power of God, to begin to see that God's grace reached all the people around us. All the people we know in scriptures, and even the people around us, it reached them. It was sufficient. God's grace was sufficient for them. Amen. Amen. So God's grace will also be sufficient for you, for your situation, for your condition, for your life. The Lord has made provision for your life. If you, whatever and however you were born, to the family you were born, to the country you live in, to the state, to your very state, to this very state, God has made full provision, and His grace can reach you if you would open up your heart, receive the grace, and so that you'll be lifted into your destiny by the grace of God. Now, I want to begin with Esther. So, funnily, I put my notes together. This is one of the times I put my notes together, and I just threw it all out there with no particular order of things. I said, I'm going to follow this, then this. Nah, not going to throw in there. Because when you go to the scripture, you find that, sometimes look at our courses. Maybe I read this course, this one, read this course. The reason why I'm like this is because of the course I read. The reason why I'm like this is because of the job I'm doing. Look at it now. So God's grace can reach you anywhere you are. If you would open up your heart and say, I love that song. This is where I love this song. I don't sing song. He's beautiful for all situations. All, not some, all. So let's take Esther, for example. What do you think about Esther? What do you think about Esther? Come on, queen. Pretty. Abby? She must be. Well, we know favor, right? And all that. But let's take Esther, for example. Now, Esther chapter number 2. I want to show you something about her life. Esther chapter number 2 and in verse number 5. Esther chapter number 2 and verse number 5. So we look at Esther and we see the victory of God. We see the power of God. We see the hand of God upon her life. But we also need to see where the grace of God lifted her from. So I'm going to be showing you these people's lives. I'm going to be showing you and talking to you about where the grace of God lifted them from. Then you will probably see that God's grace can reach you to where you are. So Esther, we read from Esther chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
The son of Jair, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Kish, a Benjamites. The next verse. Who had carried away from Jerusalem, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. So they were reading the book of Esther. We are starting from the story of Mordecai. Mordecai was carried away with the captivity. With the captivity. You see that now? Next verse. And he brought up Hadassah. That's Esther. That's Esther. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother. You see that now? And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Okay, now. See. So, can we go back? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So, you see a little girl living her life. She was fair and beautiful. I have to do that research. Sincerely, I didn't do that work. So, I'll do that work. The maid was fair and beautiful. I think when they say fair, they already say beautiful. But fair and beautiful would mean that she was extra, as in something like that. I don't know, but I'll do that work. I didn't do the work, but I'm assuming, because if they say she's fair, we already think she's beautiful. But she was fair and beautiful, but she lost her mother and her father. So she was an orphan. So the Esther you know, the Queen Esther, the favored Esther, the Esther that people name their children after today, lost her father and mother. And at that time, in that place, and she was going, raised by Mordecai and all that, a relative, and then she's living her life. And when somebody looked at her, when you look at her, what would they say? They'll say, what will it take? What will it take for the grace of God, for God to do something in this life? No, the people, I mean, a young girl in her class, her classmate, primary 5, when she lost her daughter, her father and mother, would have said, there's no way. I mean, then if you stood today, and let us be truthful, let us be frank, if you stood today and you look at that life, you will say now that, there's no way she stood a chance to be something in life. There's no way she stood a chance to be queen of a whole nation. But God's grace, God's ability is sufficient for every situation. Now, I want to just quickly take Mary, for example. Mary was not an orphan. Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, I mean. She was not an orphan. Everybody's story will not start at the same point. But we can all end up at the same point of victory, destiny, winning, and being where we should be in our lives. Are you here? Stories don't start at the same point. So Esther was an orphan, no father, no mother, raised by Mordecai. So what's the connection, please? You say Mordecai, they say her father's uncle, so whatever, relative, right? So look at that life. Now, but the thing about it is that we have all these stories in the Bible, and he gives us their background. He gives us the background. Why does he give us the background? Because there are no two Esthers. No two Esthers in your Bible. No two Pauls. No two Peters. No two Davids. No two. Come on. So, when you look at your life, it is not where you are coming from. It is the grace and the power of God, the ability of God to reach you in your very particular situation and lift you up to your destiny if you will cooperate with the grace or power of God. So I don't care where you are right now in your life, but you should know that the grace of God can reach you. So Esther, Queen Esther, people named their children Esther when they are alive and her parents died. Nobody cared about that story. They only took the victory part. Come on. But that's the truth. People named their children Esther. Esther's story was not funny. People are still Naomi today. Naomi lost her husband. Come on. Her children, everything. Naomi. Nobody is angry with that. We take the end. So, what about you? Where are you right now in 2026? comparing yourself with somebody else. You say that because they're already on this platform, because they're on step number 5 and you're on step number 1, it means that it's not going to be possible for you to catch up and be something in life. Who said that? Come on, say God's ability is sufficient for every situation. Are you here? So Esther, I'm doing this on purpose. Esther was an orphan. You must remember that. But look at her today. When we consider Esther, when we think about her, our memory of Esther is beautiful. But imagine the day she lost her father and mother. Whatever happened, I'm in my thoughts, I'm thinking it was during the captivity when they came, when Nebuchadnezzar came to the city and took them captive, Israel captive, and lost her father, lost her mother, and then Mordecai just carried and said, "All right, let's go, let's follow the captives to into captivity, Babylon." Are you here? So when you look at that, it's finished. So when you look at your life, you look at God's ability, and we think that God's ability would work more efficiently if the person already has a good job. Right? If you look at your life, you say, so, but God's ability, I want to brainwash you the next 2 weeks. God's ability can reach you, is sufficient for every situation. Every situation. So we have an orphan here, right? And we have Esther being somebody coming out somewhere. But when we consider David, can we move to David? 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Now let's consider David. So I'm going to just keep going like that. I'm going to consider David. King David. His story was not interesting at all. Not interesting at all. I'm telling you. We know the story of Joseph. Remember, like I was saying just now, no two Bible characters are exactly the same. No two. So when we consider David in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, we see, you might not have really looked at this critically, but can we read? We're going to enjoy it together. I'm going to read. Just follow me on screen. And the Lord said to Samuel, I just told them I'm going to read a long passage because I want to show you this background. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse, come on, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. You see that there? All right. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. Next verse. We're going to be reading. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Next verse. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse. Stay there. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. David was not among. He was not. There was a problem in his life. In David's life, as a son, as a child, he was not loved. He was not recognized. The grace of God upon his life was not seen by men. It was seen by God. His father did not see. Some people say, no, they are born. I'm going to do this. Please stay here. They are born and the father said, I see your shining star. And they name them this and do that and do all that kind of stuff. The father did not see it. That there was grace upon this boy. And so when Samuel told Jesse, bring your sons, he brought everybody apart from David. And there's a little bit of contradiction here. I'm going somewhere. David was the youngest, the last boy. Huh? But he was the one tending the sheep. Tending the sheep. Now, if you consider it, and we know in the Oriental world how it works, if they were shepherds, the first son would be the chief shepherd. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the thought is, what was the first son doing? Second, third, fourth, fifth, what were they all doing that they left the sheep for David, the last boy? Because imagine, they would have already been older. I mean, the first son would have been maybe 15, 16 when David was born. Right? So you see the family dynamics. I'm showing you something. Nobody saw the grace. His condition was off. If you were to prophesy,
If you were looked at that family and you look at the condition, you will say it's not possible. But God's ability is sufficient for every situation. Every situation. So if you look at it, let's go on. So look at it. No, before you go. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. So as far as they were concerned, this Jesse, these the sons, and called them. I will tell you why I know that David was not sanctified. Next verse. And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Next verse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Next verse. Keep going. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord had not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He didn't sanctify him before. He was not there. That's what, are here all thy children? And he said, there remained yet the youngest. And behold, he kept the sheep. Brothers and sisters, that does not make sense. Are you with me today? He's the youngest. Okay, your father has a company. Who will run the company? The youngest son will do it. That's the normal thing. If you have sheep and animal to look after, that was their livelihood. In short, that's a company. If that man was worth $300 million, it was there. It was in that company, the sheep. And they left it for the youngest, despised and rejected. But the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief of the corner. You see that now? That's what the Bible says. It's always there. He goes that like that. The stone which the builders rejected. So your situation, God's ability is sufficient. It's sufficient for your situation. His grace is sufficient for you. If you will see the sufficiency of God's grace, you will enjoy it. If you say it is not sufficient, it cannot lift me unless I have father and mother, you will be talking like Esther. Then you will now come to David, somebody that has father and mother, and he was still rejected among his people. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? David, father and mother, they were intact, very alive. But he was rejected by his own people. He was not seen as anything. And there remained yet the youngest, and he said, behold, he keepeth the sheep. It is strange, even in their time, even in that generation, it was strange. The youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he cometh. He was not sanctified. He was not invited. He was not sanctified. He was not invited. That's clear. Because it meant that when he said send and fetch him, it meant that he was far away. And when he said we will not sit down, it means that it will take some time, but we would what? Wait. I'm willing for us to wait. When God's grace comes into the picture, it's not about where you are, right? It's about what he wants to do through your life. But if the key now, when I phrase that statement, is that thing that pastors want to do. The thing is that God's grace was already there, but you have to open your eyes and say, God, your grace is sufficient for me. Many a times we are the one that exclude ourselves from the grace of God because of our condition and because of the depth of our situation. The fact that it's as if they've already gone ahead of us 5 months. Some of your mates, they are already ahead of you maybe like 5 years, 10 years. Finished. And if you look at it, there's no way that you will be able to make up and be something in life. As far as you are concerned, it is we are is done. For some of you, it's location. As far as I'm here and he's there, it means that I can never rule over this person. Who said that? You know Joseph's story. So I probably will not read Joseph's story. As far as we are with our father and mother, come on. And we are attending to the sheep. This same David sheep that they didn't tell. We are attending to the sheep. We had all the control of everything. And Joseph was a slave in Egypt. There's no way his star can rise. Are you in church? Yes. They calculated God's grace, they calculated the sufficiency of God's grace to reach him. In their calculation, it's not going to be possible for our brother, who is a slave, sold to slavery, not prisoner, sold slave, to ever rule over us. But the sufficiency of God's grace for every situation was made clear. It is not possible for a lady who was orphaned as a young girl to ever rise up to become something. But the sufficiency of God's grace was again there. So we have to stop this measurement thing. We have to stop determining where the grace of God can reach. Come on. We say that where I am is too low and too far for the grace of God to reach me. So therefore, it is over. You know how many times people have ruled? I mean, they've cancelled you. Even you might not even know. But like David and his... David didn't know they've cancelled him. You don't carry... They take the sheep and go like 2 weeks journey, 2 months journey. They just go far. They take the sheep and go. He's there away. He didn't even know that he has been cancelled. As far as he was just concerned, he was just living life. They didn't even care that he was whatever happened to him. Are you here? They will know people have cancelled you. But you will stand and say, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief of the corner. Amen. Because God's grace is sufficient to pick somebody from anywhere. So we've looked at an orphan, right? We've looked at David now. And we consider Joseph. Because you know the story. I told myself, I'm not going to read it. As far as they were concerned, this God's grace is huge. Oh, but there's no way the gap is... He has to first of all leave prison. He was a slave. And then just for God to demonstrate his power, he now made a slave go to prison. And say, from the depths of hell, my hand can reach and bring you out. You see what I'm saying now? God's grace is sufficient. For every situation. For where you are. You maybe you find yourself in any of these people. I don't know where you find yourself. Maybe. But this would have been my lead scripture if I were to do lead scripture and do as if I'm breaking down step by step. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You know this, you know David's story. You know all these stories. I'm only trying to show you the foundation where God took them from. So I may not be the truth is that I'll not be able to call your own. But wherever you are, God's grace is sufficient to reach you. I say, there's no way. The way is looking. Who did the maths? Who did the maths? Who did the maths? That an orphan late girl. I mean, why did her father die? Why did her father die? So, where was God? And when we begin to disqualify ourselves and begin to say God is not with us, we lose the grace of God. Where was God when the parents died? The grace and power of God in your life is not tied to your parents. It's not tied to your job. Come on. It's almost hard to believe. I wrote in my introduction earlier that it's as if when we read their stories, it's magical. It's magical. And the one who look at our lives and say it's not possible. But I'm here to prophetically tell you that God's ability is sufficient for every situation, no matter the situation. No matter the situation, no matter the condition of your life, God's ability is sufficient. Amen. Right? That's what I came to tell you. You won't find like me. My mom said, like my dad died some time ago. So I'm not Esther. I'm not even David. I'm not any of them. I'm me, and God's grace is sufficient to reach me. You really be difficult to find yourself exactly. You're not a shepherd, so you can't be there. But we are learning this thing so that we can look at our lives, our situations, and say, oh, if God did this thing for them and the situation was like this, then he can do the same thing for me. Amen. Sometimes, I don't know, I'm just so, that's why I could jump into the notes anyway. Can we look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 8? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Lord, take this thing away. Take this thing away. This is the statement, verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is what? Sufficient for thee. Come on, say that. My grace is sufficient for thee. That is what the Lord said. So can we take this and say, your grace is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. That's where it's coming from. That's where my teaching is coming from. This is the verse. This is where it's coming from. The sufficiency of God's grace for your life. He says, my grace is sufficient. But when you take God's grace, God's ability, God's power, you take it, you put it there, you say it is not sufficient. You need to have father and mother. You need to have a mother that loves you. Come on, you know the story of Jacob. Jacob. The mother loved him and did all that arrangement with him to get the blessing. You see, you need to have a father and mother that love you. I mean, you can look at somebody's life. I saw something very painful. I saw a lady, she was beaten and all that. I said, because she lived on the bed, 10 years old, blah, blah. She was not with her parents, obviously. She didn't even know where they were. I don't know how they gave her up and all that kind of stuff. And you feel that remorse and that pain. I feel that pain. This, because it's not their daughter, they just treat her. I mean, see all the marks on her back, it was just painful and all that kind of stuff. But the truth is this, God's grace is sufficient to reach her. God is not blind. His hands are not weak. They are not short. It's not for us to look at and consider how things are. It's for us to consider the grace of God. So you look at that 10 years old girl being beaten right now, and what comes to your mind is, there's no way she can stand a chance to where my own kids are. Who told you? She could literally employ them. God's grace don't have boundaries. It doesn't know situation. When it's time, if he says so, and if you, that's what I'm teaching you, you open your heart and say, your grace is sufficient for me. Can you say it enough? God, your grace is sufficient. You know, sufficient. That is sufficient. It reach. I wish I had that internship position. You know, where me I'm doing my internship is not a good place. Where you are doing your internship is better than where I'm doing my internship. So therefore, there's no way. What about if where you are doing your internship, the owner suddenly recognizes a grace upon your life and says, I want you to run this place for me. While lifting you from common intern to manager, can you do that? And the person who is doing internship in the place, in that big place, any more than you, can, there's no way they will come and sit down and say, do that. Are you what I'm saying? God's grace. Father, your grace is sufficient for my life. It's sufficient. This is my scripture. This is my late scripture. It is the Lord spoke to me to teach you this, and that's why I'm showing you all this. He said unto me, my grace. I said, God! My grace is sufficient. That my grace is everything. It's sufficient. You don't need anything extra. After Jesus Christ died, we don't need anything extra. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for us. That's just how it is. God's grace is sufficient for our salvation. For everything. We don't need to do anything extra to be saved. He said, if you must be saved, you must have father and mother. Salvation just came by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your lifting too is sufficient by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Going forward, amounting to more. You say there's no way somebody can start with 300,000 this business, and by the end of December, end of year, because come on. But God's grace is sufficient. Somebody is traveling and says, I've been seeing you doing your business. I want you to add my own business to your business and just take it. I don't even have children. I know somebody that have been dashed the whole house. Yes. Somebody was passing. I mean, an elderly person was passing and called this dear man of God and said, I don't have children. I don't have anything. Take this house. The money is in his church is inside our house. Still today. See, he had not bought land. And me, I bought land. You only laid more than 200 blocks. But please, in this teaching, don't make the mistake of what I am trying to say. That the grace is coming. No, you have the grace. Just say that it is sufficient for me. It is a matter of sufficiency. Because, are you still here? In this scripture, you see that Paul had the grace already. But he did not just know that it was sufficient. He was asking the Lord to take the condition away so that his life can be balanced. We feel that if this thing could go, then it will be okay. But God says no. It can be there. You see what I'm saying now? He's praying for it to go. Hoping that, just imagine, just that you are praying that if I can get this job, I will not have money. It's a wrong thought. I'm not trying to say don't do anything with your life. That's not what I'm saying. If you hear me correctly. I'm trying to say that you cannot calculate it like that. His grace is sufficient for you. That what he wants to do in your life, his ability is sufficient for every situation. Every situation. So we looked at somebody, it's not about money. For Esther, it was father and mother, nothing, orphaned at a young age, taken care of by an uncle, and you look at that and say there's no way for her life. It will say that the grace is sufficient. So the Lord said to Paul, he said, listen, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. That Paul is speaking now. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Somehow, the disadvantage is the advantage. Somehow. You see all the stories I'm showing you. They seem disadvantaged. It seems that if you do the math, it won't work. So, you know, people can rule out. And in my thoughts about the scripture, I'll show you something else. Can we look at the next verse, please? Look at the next verse. Next verse. Therefore, Paul speaking now, he has come to a conclusion. Come on, say therefore. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You see that now? When I am weak, he saw weaknesses differently. He said, look at it. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. But when we see weakness, we say, for when you are weak, then am I dead. It's the way we see. That's what I'm trying to say. The ability of God's grace to reach you. When I am weak, then am I strong. He saw it differently. Since he lost her parents, it will be impossible for her to have a life. Since she's in this family, nobody likes our younger sister. There's this thing that happened. I don't know. It happened. There's this lady. The lady was pregnant. Gave birth to 1, 2, 3. I think the fourth child or thereabout. She was pregnant with the child and had an accident. And so, I don't know how it's possible. Some cultures are very funny. They say it is the child that caused the accident. So that child in that family. I'm not telling you some story I heard. Like this, I know the family. So this is a real story. And so we grew up, we're already old enough to know self-sense. And so we noticed it, but where is this? That was the story we were told. The mother was limping. She kept that limp was like forever. So that limp is like, it is this baby that caused this thing in my life. And so she was like in the house. I mean, the same father, the same mother, normal. The siblings insult her, cause just like that. She's not a servant to somebody in her own house. We knew it. I'm telling you, I know the. I can call name to everything like that. I'm not telling you a story, really. And you see a condition like that, and you're like, what nonsense? And then, so if you see that family and you look at that life, you say, there's no way, no parental love, right? No. What about divine love? Hallelujah. If she buys into the fact that my life has finished, I don't stand a chance. God's grace will not be sufficient for her. She will have grace. People will even be around grace her and just love her, but she will not be able to receive it. She will say, I still need that parental love. You still think there is something you need, that if you have had it, your life would have been better. So God will be reaching out, but they will say the grace is not sufficient. So how much is God doing in your life? What is God demonstrating in your life right now? And you are still saying God's grace is not sufficient. I mean, you might not have. I mean, a friend just took you in and said, a friend said, okay, just stay in my house. You are able to get back on your feet. God's grace is sufficient. That started already. It's working. I don't have my own place. I wish I had my own place. There's no way. But that is the beginning of God's grace. Do you see God's grace there? When you see the grace of God come into your life, but it comes in and we say it is not sufficient. We feel that there is something off, and so we reject the grace of God working in our lives. That's the real problem. Good things are happening around you, but we don't receive them and see them as the grace of God taking root in our life to produce and propel us to our destinies. Are you here? We only count the disadvantages. God's grace is sufficient. God's ability is sufficient for every situation. Every situation. No matter where you are. If you look around, if you look at your life critically now, you even take Esther. Right?
She had Mordecai, but she had lost her parents. You see now. But she had Mordecai. That was God's grace. She had somebody wise to counsel and guide her. That was grace. And it was sufficient. It was sufficient. Somebody takes you in. Sufficient. Somebody gives you something. You have a job. God's grace is sufficient. What about if you didn't have a job at all? Somebody who does not have a job is hoping to even have a job at all. As far as you are alive, the grace of God is upon your life. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, active, always active in our midst. But like Paul, we stand before God and say, take this thing away. I would rather be here. If I am here, then I will stand a chance. But God says, no, I don't need that. I don't need people to know you. I don't need recognition from father and mother or uncle. My grace is sufficient for you. Come on, that's what God says. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
I will do one more before I leave today. And that is the case of Apostle Paul. Still Apostle Paul. How bad can a person be? Bad. So, stay with me. Are you still here? Peter was a fisherman, married, right? Good fisherman. Good enough for his mother-in-law to even stay in his house. Peter, good enough fisherman. And so Jesus Christ came and called Peter, reached out to Peter. You can see clearly maybe why the grace of God reached out to Peter. Because he was a good person. Pastors, ministers, madams, men of God, please take note. Then we see another life, Paul. Paul was a terrible fellow. He was killing and imprisoning people who called upon Jesus. But God's grace reached him. Just the way it reached Peter. Hey, you didn't see that? So you look at somebody and you say, me, I'm more than this person already. You know, I'm even nearer to God. Who near God person? I'm near God person. Nearer to God than him. He's just a wayward fellow there. We're hoping that he will start reading the Bible. He can write Bible. If you consider Peter and Paul, God's grace can't leave somebody like that now. Paul was just a terrible fellow. Peter was okay. At least okay. I don't say it was perfect, but it was okay. So if you put Peter, if you want to put proximity to God, who would God's grace reach first? Peter. And then when the grace reached Paul, it would have been very hard for him to ever. When people look at people, you don't know God's grace is sufficient to can lift somebody up. And in our view today, if we do a poll in the church and say statistics, Peter or Paul, if we do it here, we know who will win. Paul wins without stress. Who do you want to be like? Apostle Paul. I gather pastors together and ask them, who wants to be like Peter? But who could pass inside the two of them originally? Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
God's grace is sufficient. God's ability is sufficient for every situation. So really, it's not about where you are. The same grace that was effective in Peter, that same grace was effective in Paul. The same grace. And their foundation and the beginning was not the same thing. One was a terrible fellow. The same grace. Sometimes we are looking at things and judging by which one is easier. Come on. But he always likes to do hard stuff. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. Or, son, your sins are forgiven. He said, which one is easier? But so that you know that the Son of Man has power to take away sins. That's why I said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. That's what he said. He reversed it. Don't worry. I know what I said. Your sins are forgiven. Why would he say that? He said, but which one is easier? I could have just said, I don't take up your bed and walk. But I want to do something. I want to show you something. It's easier. It will be easy to get somebody like Peter. And truthfully, if you consider all the apostles, all of them, there was one that was a tax collector. Terrible fellow, tax collector. If you consider that it will be easier for him to convert, if God wants to convert somebody, who will he convert? Easier to work grace in the heart of somebody who is already good than to work grace in the heart of somebody who is very bad. That's human brain. That's your brain. That's why I want to brainwash you. It's hard. I'm seeing you doing. Yes, now. God's grace is sufficient for every situation. Anyone. Only God's grace can boil stone. It will become soft. It will become soft. God's grace can do it. It doesn't mean you. For us, we say this. You know, this thing is harder than this one. So if you boil the two of them, one will done first. For God's grace, it doesn't really matter like that. It is sufficient. You can get that one to done first before the other one. You see the God we serve, the powerful God we serve, how it is hard for us to believe his miracle working power and we want to see miracle in our lives. That's what I'm saying. If I say God will do this thing now, everybody will say it's a lie. That's the problem. I can't profess, I can't bring anything to you because it's a lie. It's not possible. But you say, God, do miracles in my life this year 2026. Okay, you will be this. You say, how can these things be? Seeing that I know not a man, pastor has come again. God's grace don't factor all those things. He can do it. If it's me, I want to choose somebody to become apostle. If I'm looking at pastors, I'll say, okay, this one is better than this one. So you now work with this one, you do all that mass. But God, he looks at the guy and says, my grace is sufficient for you. No matter what your past, no matter what you have been doing, will you receive my grace? And the guy says, I receive your grace. Finish you. The bad boy in school, is now a pastor. And you're like, I was SU president. Oh. You are a church member. Bad boy is now pastoring the church. We will stop those nonsense. At the end of this lesson, you will be able to say, God's grace is sufficient for every situation. God's ability is sufficient for my situation. For my situation. So when you are plotting the trajectory and plotting your life, no, because many a times that's what we do. We even do it with our friends. Come on, you play judge, God of all. This person, this one go make him. This one no fit make him. So who you know go make him? I wasn't know. Because his father already has a company. When she finishes, she will just start the company and then she will just go. You see now? What about if somebody is now gifted the company? You can't really tell. God's grace is sufficient. All the apostles, I'm staying on that example, all the apostles were different. All of them were different. You know, when we were young, my mother used to pray, as our faces are different, so our needs are different. Let's say, really, all of us are different. I'm not in your situation. If we tally our lives today, the difference already starts from the fact that we were born by different parents. And finally, born by the same parents, still have differences inside. Finish. No two people are the same, but God's grace is the same, rich above for unto all. God's grace, God is rich unto all. Not unto some, but unto all. Are you here? He rich you. No matter your situation. So this year 2026, can you look forward? Can you say, Lord, your grace is sufficient? I don't have a car. Right now, I don't have 1 million in my account. Right now, I don't stop. I don't have this, I don't have that. But Father, your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. I'm not expecting to have somebody else's life. You're not going to have somebody else's life. You're going to have your life. If you pray for him to change your life from today to tomorrow, he will not. He will give you the answer I gave to Paul. I'm telling you. I wish I were born by parents who were abroad. Pion, it will not happen. Abby? Come on. How you check him?
You guys are all playing games and lying in church. Just imagine now.
It was not because of the Jack Ma syndrome. You must know somebody who has traveled abroad, blah, blah, blah. And you see the kids, the children, and say, only for snow. Some people only for snow. They don't mind. Snow. I don't know what you want to do with snow. You don't eat it, though. I don't want you. Another message, another day. You don't really eat it. People do snow like if they have snow in their life. Life is perfect. Snow don't make people's life perfect.
You see that I didn't fly. Because, Pastor, you are talking nonsense. God's grace is sufficient for your life. It's not snow that is sufficient for your life.
I'm still looking for trouble. You know why I'm still looking for trouble? Some of your faces, I don't like the way you're looking at me. I would have just gone. I'm done. But the way you are looking at me is suspicious. So I have to continue to find to get you. I must get everybody before I leave. No, I won't get half of the church. I'll get all of the church. I must get you. God's grace is sufficient. If I had this, I would stand a better chance. But he won't do that. He won't change anything. Your life is perfect. You are where you should be. You are where you should be. I said you are where you should be.
Yes, sir.
I said that cannot be possible. That's the problem. I'm not supposed to be here. I would have been there. Exactly the problem. You can't move forward if you say you are not supposed to be here. You will see the grace of God all around you. And you'll be walking in pain and torment. God's grace is sufficient for my life. God's grace is sufficient for my ministry. It's sufficient for me. I don't know. People are just add-ons. I love you. I honor you. I'll do anything for you. But God's grace is sufficient for me. No man is your God. No man will take place. Say, you will not be promoted in this office. So, you know you can be above that person. You see, someone say it's not possible. God's grace is sufficient for that kind of thing to happen. Sufficient. Say, can I happen? Joseph was a prisoner in Potiphar's house. Wife now lied. He was a slave. Wife now lied. They now sent him to prison. He was now in prison. The slave that is in prison in a foreign land, his name and address, nobody will know. He can lost there. But God's grace is sufficient. Can lift you from anywhere. From anywhere. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, I will do that one and go. First Samuel chapter number 2. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 8. Can we read together 1-2 go? You see that now? You see what he does? He raised up the poor out of the dust, and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. To do what? To set them among princes. Now they are not among princes, so from dust to among princes. Then from among princes, what will he do? He will now do what? Make them. He will do what? Make them inherit the throne of glory. Why? The pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And he has set the world upon them the way he likes. All you really need in your life is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's sufficient for you. It's sufficient. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief of the corner. In fact, when you are being rejected, just begin to claim and say that God's grace is sufficient for your life. You will know that grace. You will see that grace at work. It will work. It will work in your life. It will be sufficient. So in your calculations, please, we'll look at some more. When your calculations, don't calculate yourself out of God's grace. Don't say that you need something plus God's grace. The only thing you need in this whole life that you came to is the grace of God. Father, mother, connections, brother, stuff, nothing. The grace of God is sufficient. It is the grace of God that brings those things, that helps you get those things, that helps you see those things. It is the grace of God. And it's available for your life. Come on. You know what Paul prayed? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Spirit. You know, people recite it. We don't recite it as much. It is more powerful to me that I don't recite it every Sunday than people who say it every Sunday. You know what you are saying? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit is with me. No thing can stand against me. That is all the force of heaven with me. None of them stand one side. The grace of Jesus Christ is there. The love of God is there. Holy Spirit is not there. Just say it is sufficient for me. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. Lord, you are sufficient for me. You are sufficient. I end up all those, I am behind my friends. I am behind. If I had this now, will you bow your heads this morning? Can we pray in earnest to God and say, Father, I don't look to myself. I see your grace sufficient for my life. You are not in the wrong state. You are not in the wrong place. You don't have any wrong thing. If you had this, it will work. No! The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. 3 times I asked the Lord to take this thing away from me. And he said no. He says, my grace is sufficient for this. Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. Lord, the common denominator of all the lives we'll look at is the victory, destiny at the end. That's the common denominator. God's grace is sufficient to lift you from anywhere. All of them fulfill destiny, but the background was different. All of them amounted to something, but the background was different. Paul was a murderer. Paul was a thief. But the grace of God was sufficient for him. Peter was a fisherman, married, respectable man in the community, and yet the grace of God was sufficient for him. David was ignored by his parents, his brothers, but the grace of God was sufficient for him. Come on, come on. Esther lost her parents at an early age, but the grace of God sufficient for her. So today I tell you that God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. Come on, in the name of Jesus, your ability is sufficient for every situation in my life. You knew about the situation. If he needed it, he would have given it to you. Come on. If you need it, he would have given it to you. You do not need it. You have the grace of God, and it is sufficient for you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. I want you to pray today. I say, Lord, everything I have is perfect. You are beautiful for all situations. Yeah, I am right now. Perfect. Your timing is perfect. Your timing is perfect. Shato replete cosine le mandes. Jesus, your grace is sufficient for me and where I should be right now. Jesus, your grace is all I need and it's sufficient. It's enough. I see your grace. Hallelujah. There's something I did not point out. And I think I just need to say that. So we'll pray. We'll still pray just now. I want us to pray and receive these words. Right? Timing. One of the things that affect us is timing, that somebody has gone ahead of us. How do you know? How do you say this person has gone ahead? Who says that? Timing. He will lift you up at the time, at your right time, when your time comes. You can't say this person has gone ahead. You know, because right now, come on, look at 2026. This person already has this and I don't have this. So he's ahead of me. Says who? Come on. Timing. That sufficiency of God's grace, even for time. For time is very important. Because many a times, the real issue with us is time. it's time. This person has this already. And so it will take me so much time to have this. But tell that to Joseph, a prosperous man. Tell that to David. Timing. He can alter the times and seasons and push you forward. Come on. Timing. Don't use that time. Don't say somebody. Don't do that. Don't say somebody already. So it means if you already, this person already has this. And so it means that I don't have it. So it's time. When your time comes, your time will come. Timing is very important. I will say, Lord, I rest in your time. And many of the time we cancel ourselves because of time. There's no way. This person already has this. And time is out of it. I don't have the time anymore. But when your time comes, you will receive that same thing. And it maybe even go ahead. Are you here? This is February. By now, I thought I would have been married. By now, I thought I would have had 5 children. By now, I thought I would have finished building my house. By now, I thought, you see that stuff? You can get into all those things once. Everything once. But you must learn and to say, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. If I had this, I would have this. No, God's grace is sufficient. Can we pray a little more? Can we say, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me, even for my timing? Even for timing. Sometimes one could look at you and say, oh, your time, you are not, by now you should have done this, by now you should have done this, but God's grace is sufficient for you. You can overtake. You can overtake in the name of Jesus. Your ability is sufficient for every situation, including my own. Including my own. You did it for Peter, Paul, Esther, David, Samuel. Lord, I trust you, Lord. Your grace is sufficient for me. It's sufficient, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, kalamosete libra kasanda la boko shete libos. Libra kasete libo hoko sida la namaha. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. My situation is perfect. My situation is perfect. I'm at the right place. Perfect. Your grace is sufficient. You can turn it around. Make my life what you want it to be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children. I thank you, Lord, because their eyes are open to see now. They see your grace in the name of Jesus. They see your grace as sufficient for them, and they enjoy the benefits of your grace in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever situations they are in right now, whatever season of their life, whatever season they are in right now in their lives, I thank you, God, because your grace is sufficient for them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, because they see now the sufficiency of your grace for their lives in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because right now, from today, they begin to take advantage of your grace. They see your grace, they use your grace, and they enter into the product of grace in the name of Jesus. They reap the results of grace in the mighty name of Jesus, because they see that your grace is sufficient for them in the mighty name of Jesus. They enter into the results of grace, into the result of grace, because their eyes are open today. Their eyes are open today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You've made their lives beautiful. You've made their lives beautiful. Equipped it with grace, filled it with your grace. Lord, let them see fully that grace. Let them see fully that grace and walk in it. Let them see that the grace is sufficient. Let them see that the grace is all that they actually need. And Lord, help them, Lord, to not to seek after the hand of men who are rejecting them here and rejecting them there. Lord, help them to see that your grace is sufficient. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. From today, they begin to enjoy your grace. They begin to enjoy your grace. In the name of Jesus. Because their eyes have been opened. They declare with their mouths that your grace is sufficient. No fear in their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. They're not afraid. They see your grace now and they enjoy it. In the name of Jesus. This week, you will walk in the abundance of grace. in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Your business is in the right place. You are in the right place. In the name of Jesus, God's grace is sufficient for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.